You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Abby, and I'm so blessed to be able to share my testimony with you all today. For those of you that don't know me, I am a member of the Beloved class. Yeah. Let's go, guys. I live in Glide Crawford on Third Front. Yeah, okay. And I am a music major studying to... Okay. I'm a music major studying to become a music therapist. So in sharing my story with you all today, I hope that even if you don't hear anything I say from this point on, you hear me when I tell you this. God loves each and every one of you, and there is absolutely no limit to the amount of brokenness that he can redeem in your lives. I hope that my story today encourages each one of you and helps you see the truth of this statement. So when I look back to the beginning of my life, I'm very grateful to say that I was raised by God-fearing parents in a Bible-believing church. I accepted Jesus into my heart when I was 6 years old, and while I do believe with certainty from that point on, Jesus was my Savior, I had accepted his salvation into my life, he was not necessarily the king that I answered to. Even then, at that point in my life so early, I was letting anxiety and worry rule my life. I can think back to after I accepted Christ, it took me about like a year to actually like get the courage to get baptized because I was just so terrified of the water. I had to practice in the swimming pool with my dad. It was a whole thing. But between the time I accepted Jesus and throughout all of middle school, I learned more about him. Like I knew a lot of the right things to say and had a lot of the knowledge. I do believe I grew a little bit closer to him, but I had never really fully surrendered every single part of my life to him. I was just continuing to pursue control and perfectionism and an attitude of performance for others in all aspects of my life, whether it was in trying to be the best musical performer that I could be or do the best academically, be the best daughter, be the best sister, be the best friend. I just had to pursue this unrealistic standard of perfection in everything. Whenever I entered high school, I experienced several changes all at once that just really rocked my world. I was experiencing so many huge emotions during that season and so much anxiety. And when I was unable to meet the expectations of utter perfection I had set for myself, I sort of just fell into depression. In this season where I felt just so out of control and so angry with myself, I had turned to self-harm as a way to cope with these emotions. I would then feel immense shame from what I had done in those moments and then feel the need to punish myself further, and this cycle just sort of continued spiraling downward. This sort of had its hills and valleys throughout high school, and I felt some improvements during my senior year. During that time, I was feeling the Lord call me to Asbury, and I began my freshman year in August of 2023. As I began school, the first 2 weeks kind of felt like summer camp. I don't know if a few, yeah, y'all laugh because y'all know. First 2 weeks kind of felt like camp, and then I woke up that third week Monday morning. I was like, oh, I have assignments and exams and recitals. That's fun. It just started piling up and piling up, and I was just hit with so much more force with that need to be perfect and perform for other people. There were all these new ways that I felt like I needed to perform and be perfect, all these new people to perform for. And during that season, I fell back into self-harm, and it was during that time eating became really difficult for me. It felt, once again, just sort of like the only way I could feel in control or punish myself for not being perfect. And so by October, I had developed an eating disorder. Over Christmas, I experienced some improvements, but sort of just fell right back into the place I had been whenever I returned for spring semester. As things continued in this downward spiral, I really during that semester began to struggle with suicidal ideation. I just felt so very broken over all of the things I had turned to in failed attempt after failed attempt at perfection. And it felt like there was nothing left for me to do. Things reached a climax as the semester went on. And by the grace of God, my family and friends saw the place I had fallen to and told me that I was loved and cherished. They wanted more for me than I was able to want for myself during that season. And I'm so eternally grateful for the fact that God placed them in my life at that time. During this past summer, I spent a lot of time working to get out of that place. While it was by no means easy, I was so blessed to have an amazing support system in my family, friends, doctors, and counselors. As the fall semester approached, I had made enough improvements to return to campus. While I was nowhere near the place I'd found myself the previous year, I still felt such shame and guilt over everything that had happened. Though I had heard it said to me time and again that everything that happened was not my fault, my desire to be perfect and in control still had deep resonance within my soul. I could not reconcile within myself everything that had happened and how it had affected everyone in my life. I knew that God's word said that he loved me fiercely, but I could not understand how he possibly could, given everything I had done in my life up to that point to dishonor him. In this past October, I was blessed to be able to go on a set-apart retreat. I went into the retreat extremely anxious, wondering what had possessed me to take a trip to the beach, especially since I hate the ocean. I tried to walk into the retreat expectant, but was mostly just full of shame and guilt. Whenever we arrived to the retreat center, the fantastic Jeannie Banter told us that we would not be given a schedule for the entire weekends, information which proceeded to give me, someone who loves control, a heart attack. She followed up that statement with, "Now we're going to do icebreakers with people you don't know," which gave me, an introvert, another heart attack. I was like, what am I doing here, guys? Like, what is happening? She encouraged us to make room for God to do whatever he wanted to in our lives. Various leaders shared lots of really good wisdom. Dr. Sean Gaffney encouraged us to have a dialogue with God, merely than just monologue at him. We were encouraged to see the Bible as a historical narrative and consider where we find ourselves within it in this already not yet. One of our student leaders, Josiah, shared with us Psalm 51, how it had impacted his life. Verse 12 really stuck out to me as he was sharing, which says, "Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit." He asked us a question that really resonated with me. Do you still have the joy of your salvation? I realized how much space I was letting my anxiety and shame take up in my heart, and it was leaving no room for joy or for peace. It was shared with us Genesis 1:2, where it says that the all-powerful God of the universe is hovering over the formless void and dark places, and we can take comfort in the fact that he is not afraid of hovering in these places within us. During that night at the retreat, I listened to God in that moment, and I heard his Holy Spirit say, "Abby, surrender your anxiety and shame to me," like literally lift it up in the air with your hands. And I'm like, okay, this feels stupid, but whatever. And then lay your hands flat on the ground so you don't pick it back up. And then do it again and again. And I'm just sitting in this retreat center, just doing this over and over again. Like, what's happening right now, guys? It's just felt his Holy Spirit telling me I'm going to be doing this every single moment of every day for the rest of my life, and that he is going to take that shame and that guilt every single time, and he's never going to be angry that I have to keep bringing it back to him. He's going to be glad that I want to bring it to him. I felt empty of the shame and guilt I've been carrying for so long and invited his joy and peace inside instead. This was such a surreal feeling, unlike anything I'd ever experienced in my life. I was just filled with such joy and freedom, I could not keep it inside. The final full day of the retreat, two other girls decided to have remembrance baptisms in the ocean as a way to testify to the change God had worked in their lives during their retreat. After they were done, I felt the Holy Spirit nudging me to do the same thing. Now, when I say I hate the ocean, I don't think you all understand. I have always hated swimming, the ocean, just water in general. It has always made me feel anxious and out of control. But in a moment of surrender, I listened to the Lord, and he said, "Abby, this time when you're getting baptized, I'm going to be more than your savior. I'm going to be king of your life. You will answer to me in everything, not your anxiety, your depression, your past sins or mistakes or temptations. You answer to me, and that's it. In that moment of surrender, I had never felt more free. Now, I feel like it's important for me to emphasize that by no means is my life perfect now. I still have days where eating is really hard. I still have days where I feel really anxious. But it is in these moments where I'm reminded of the faithfulness of God to deliver me from them and fill me with joy even in the midst of them. I'd like to close by reading a verse from 1 Peter. In chapter 5, verse 10, Peter prays this over the persecuted church. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Please remember that God loves each and every one of you, and there is absolutely no limit to the amount of brokenness he can redeem in your life. Thank you.
Hey, Asbury. It's good to be with y'all this morning. Abby, that was, like, fantastic. Thank you for sharing. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah, come on. Give it up for the Lord. That's so hype. So my name is Gabe Allen, and I am a proud member of the Restored class. Come on. And I'm also the current RA of 4th EZ in Johnson. Come on. Yeah. So I'm definitely more of an extrovert and an optimist, so I'm sorry if I've horrified any of you by any social interactions, but hopefully today is a little more chill, a little more low-key, okay? A little more about me is I am from Columbus, Ohio. Any Columbus people? Anybody? Okay, we get a little bit. And I grew up with a loving family, two brothers and my parents. And thanks to them, I have really been blessed with growing up in the church and knowing what that looks like. And I've had the blessing of walking with Christ since I was 4 years old. And the Lord has given me lots of really cool stories of how he's moved in my life and how he's moved in life here at Asbury. But today, I really feel led to share with y'all some of my lowest and hardest moments recently in life. So if you wouldn't mind to join me as I pray to open us up. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I just ask that you bring your peace and you bring what you want this morning with everyone here. I ask that it would be your words, not my own, and you would work in me however you want and if necessary in spite of me. Amen. So, I came to Asbury, right? I love Asbury, huge fan. And I pulled up and started loving everything. It was awesome. But very quickly, I was faced with a lot of hardships. You know, I love my family, like I said. I love being with them. I was homey with church. And to disconnect from all of that, I felt like more and more of my life I'd grown up with was just kind of pulled out from under me. And this all hit its climax as I went through a really rough breakup the night before classes, actually. And this was super tough, and it created a space in my life where lust and sexual sin started to creep in and take over. And it started off as a small thing, right? And it grew and grew, and I couldn't break the cycle. I'd feel like I would pray and try to get better, try to feel better, but it would just keep coming back. And the Lord, still broken a lot, has shown me a lot of stuff at Asbury. He was lovingly convicting me that this sin was developing, and he was trying to show me that it was real and how the Lord has got me through it. But this really just hit its climax at the Asbury outpouring. I felt like it was bubbling up, and it just needed to come out. Like, it needed to be stopped and to set a staple in this. And so I went up for prayer night 2 of the Asbury outpouring. And I just went out for prayer, and Pastor Roncho, my pastor at GCF actually, prayed over me, and he had this incredible picture, which I will never forget, of all of these chains of lust and sexual sin just tying me down, broken in Jesus' name when he prayed the name Jesus over me. And I felt so free and so pumped and just so excited and so filled with the Holy Spirit. And I truly felt this broken off of me. Like, praise God. I was so hyped. And I really felt this was a catalyst for my ministry in life and for what the Lord wanted me to do at the Asbury Outpouring. But I'll be the first to confess to you all that feeling and easy to resist temptation feeling went away pretty quick, about a week or two after that moment. And I was so lost and confused because I know, as Abby said, we're in the now, not yet, right? Like, there's still sin in this world. I think y'all know that. But I couldn't shake how real and how tangible this was, the chains breaking off in my life. It was so real. And I was forced to face the question, like, was that real? Like, why did this sin come back? It didn't make any sense. I was confused and annoyed. And I honestly confess to you all today is I didn't wrestle with that question as much as I should have. I should have pondered that with the Lord and given that to the Lord. Instead, I kind of turned to what John Mark Comer calls willpower. It just was easier to find more disciplines myself, you know, like eating better, getting in the gym, reading Bible, like stuff we consider generally good. But I look back on that now and realize that as more of a means of avoidance rather than allowing his means of grace to come in. And so this all kind of hit its moment with the church conference I went to at the very end of last summer. And this question of lust and why it all went this way was far from my mind, but I had gone up for prayer for something totally different at this church conference. And I go up and I turn around and Pastor Ronjo's hands are laid on my shoulders. I had no clue who was going to be at this church conference, guys. This was like crazy. But he was there and he prayed over me and he spoke another picture over my life where he saw that the chains were off, the chains were gone, that was real. But what they left were like these scars and these cuts on my arm when they slid off, right? So there are these scars and these cuts on my arms, but the Lord still called them beautiful. The Lord still called them beautiful. And so as I've been praying more about this lately, Isaiah 6 has stood out a lot to me. You can read it later. It's a pretty dope story. But it's about the call of Isaiah. And it starts with the Lord cleansing Isaiah of his sins. But it ends with him saying, very simply, here I am, send me. And as I look back on this moment, what this picture means for me is that what I was saying was, it's my hands behind my back, my arms behind my back saying, here I am, send me. And my prayer life, you know, when I stumbled, when I sinned the night before and I'd come to God in the morning, I'd be like, here I am, send me. I messed up. That's behind us, God. Let's move forward together. But what the Lord was showing me is I can hold my arms up to God. I can show him every part of my life at all times and be like, Lord, here I am, send me, all of me, because you love every part of me and you call it beautiful because it's your story and not my own. Yes, I sinned last night and I recognize that and I give that to you. Help continue to wash and heal these cuts, heal these scars. Show me how you call these beautiful because you are making it a part of my story and you're transforming what is not of you to be of you. So what's really cool is, not really cool, it kind of sucks, but I'm still struggling with this today. And that's really hard to say on a stage in front of all of my besties. But like, I still am struggling with this. And the Lord is continuing to heal these cuts, to heal these scars. It's getting better. I do not deny what the Lord is doing. And I'm finding more and more strength in him and confiding more and more in him day by day. But it only comes when I'm showing him every part of me. And he's brought clarity of what that meant to me with the Asbury outpouring and what that means that I get to bring him everything every single day. And I know that many in this room struggle with similar sin, similar sexual sin, or maybe just some other breakthrough in your life where God has met you and continued to work on you. But I can stand on this stage today and boldly say that it is worth it. It is worth it to keep fighting and come to the Lord every day. And I am confident, as Philippians 1:6 says, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. I know that someday these open cuts and open wounds on my arm will be totally healed in Jesus' name. And I can't wait for that to happen, but I really can't wait for the journey of submitting to him every day. So I know this is hard stuff, and I know this is bold because I'm just a junior, but like, I feel called to give you all a little bit of an altar call this morning as a way, as a posture you can reflect on. I found it fascinating how me and Abby's testimonies intertwined. That was not planned by man. It was all God. But how we both talked about like holding something out before the Lord continually, right? For her, it was putting it up and like giving it back to the Lord. For me, the picture was like just continuously holding out to the Lord. Both great images. And I recognize that you are all leaders and examples on this campus. I love all of you, and I believe that each one of you God has a plan for 100%. So I challenge you, what's something you can hold out before the Lord today? What's something you can give him that either you've never given him, you've never shown him that full side, or you have, and you just need to continuously keep bringing it back to him because it's hard, and it sucks sometimes. But imagine when we take that posture together as a community, how we can pour into each other in accountability with each other and the Lord. Imagine the amount of ministry the Lord is going to do through you and do through us in our own campus community, and how much more he's going to do beyond. So if you have nothing in mind, that's cool. Pray about it. You can sit and reflect. But if you do, this altar is open. The space is open. Or, you know, we give you permission to just go run out of your chapel seat and find a friend to chat to. But use this space as you feel the Lord is calling you. And just bring your wounds and scars and let the Lord call them beautiful today. Just how you are. Submit to him. Thank you.